For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And now our text. And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. Maybe some of y'all can relate to that. I don't know. Probably no one in here, but verse 19. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. Now remember, Zacharias had went into the holy place, into the Holy of Holies there, and he's in that holy place, rather, and he is doing the duty of the priest. And he's staying in there, which is unusual. Verse 22, and when he came out and could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. This morning we're going to be talking about faith. We're going to be talking about faith, but we're going to use the word trust. And the title is Simply Trust Him. Simply trust him. And trust can be complicated. We make it complicated, but it doesn't have to be complicated. Simply trust him. So let's talk about that. Father, we need you this morning. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. God, all of us from here all the way to the back of the auditorium, from side to side, there's not a person in this place under the sound of your word that doesn't need to hear from you. And so I pray that you'd guide us, please. Touch us. Strengthen us where we're weak. We'll give you glory for how you work. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. We were privileged to go to an orchestra not too long ago, as a matter of fact. And in this orchestra, you see all of these instruments, and these people that play these instruments do this just incredible work on these things. It's amazing. And the particular pieces that we were hearing were also not just with the orchestra, with all the instruments, but also with the piano. And this man that was playing the piano, it felt like sometimes when he was doing these arrangements, that four or five hands were on this piano. It just was miraculous. How could he possibly hit all of these chords and all of these keys all over the piano the way that he was doing? It felt like, you know, impossible. And when it comes to music, sometimes music can be complicated that way. You know, all music, when I look at music and you open the songbook and you see the notes, I read the words, but the music part of it, that's complicated to me. I don't understand much of that. Now, if you know music and you understand how to read music and how all of that works, then to you, it's not complicated. But to me, it's very complicated. Math is like that. Raise your hand if you love math. Okay, there's hands all around. I was good in algebra when I was in high school. I wasn't good at anything else, but I was good in math. I was good in algebra. And I remember having a test one time, and we had been taught this algebraic expression, and I understood it. I got it. And most of the time when it came to math, I understood it. It was hard for me to understand why other people didn't understand it, because it seemed so easy to me. And I remember after a particular test, the instructor said, well, we have one student who kind of messed it up for everybody. And the reason why was because everybody in the whole class got an F on that test except one person. And that one person got a 98%. Just going to throw that out there. Because it was me. It was my one shining moment in school. And believe me, there's very few of those. So I embrace it, you know, I remember it. It wasn't complicated to me. It was complicated to everyone else in class, but it wasn't complicated to me. I want you to know that we're going through things in life and we make things complicated. Amen. We live in a manner where we have struggles And God wants to, like we said in Sunday school, God wants to bear those burdens. He wants to take those struggles from you and give you freedom, but we make it complicated. Because there's a struggle going on in us to trust the Lord, to relinquish the control of our heart and our life to Him. And it makes things complicated. It doesn't have to be complicated, but we make it complicated. And it brings all kinds of other problems to our life too, when we won't trust God, when we won't relinquish control to Him of our spirit and our soul and the things that we have in life. And it brings discouragement, and it brings, you know, anxieties, it brings overwhelming seasons of life. And we wonder, how can we make it through these? We're being crushed, like we said just a little while ago. We're being crushed under these things. And we allow emotions that we shouldn't have begin to control us. Like we get angry, and we're getting disappointed, and we're losing our temper, and we're not having the faith or the spirit that we should have in our home. And maybe when we're around people, somebody would say, oh, yeah, you're sweet and you have a sweet spirit. But we know we're being crushed by what we won't relinquish and give to God. And so we make things complicated. It doesn't have to be complicated, but we make it that way. Now, Zacharias here is a man of faith. He's a man that has, in the testimony of God Himself, he's a just man. But yet in this moment, God has given him some news that would have been exciting and would have been simple and would have been just something he could have received and moved forward in faith, and then it would have brought peace and joy, and like he said a little while ago, or in the passage, glad tidings. It could have brought joy that glad tidings brings. But for him, it didn't, because he didn't have the simple trust that he needed to have. And we can relate to that, can't we? Amen. So that in life, God's leading us, He's showing us that He's there, and He loves us. By the way, when God speaks to you, that's Him telling you He loves you. Amen. I'm like, but He keeps getting on to me about my sins. Yes, it's Him telling you He loves you. Amen. And by the way, He's warning you all the time, too, about where your sins are going to take you if you don't simply trust Him. But He's working in us because He loves us, and He speaks to us, and He addresses these issues in our life, and things can be simple. You're in a place right now. Listen, watch this. You're in a place right now where if you just listen to the voice of God and don't in your own soul make things complicated, but keep it simple, then there can be a glad tidings in your soul this morning. A kind of relief that can come from God. A peace that only He can give you. And that's what He wants to do in us. And Zacharias would have had that kind of news. But he argued with the Lord. He struggled with trust. And so in verse number 18, Zacharias said unto the angel who had given this incredible news that he's going to have a child. And the child's name in verse 13 is going to be John. But then Zacharias said this to the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife's old. So what he did is he argued with the message that the angel had delivered to him, that he was too old. As to say, God's going to bless me, but I'm too old. I can't really do this. I'm not really capable of doing what you're telling me is going to happen in my life. And so what I need you to do, that question there, whereby shall I know this, that's a question where Zacharias is actually asking for a sign from God. Give me a sign to show me that you're going to do this. Now, I want you to think with me for a minute. Zacharias is in the holy place, and the angel Gabriel just showed up. Okay? He's having a conversation with an angel. Amen. And then he asked the angel that he's talking to give him a sign. Like another sign? This is a sign. This is from God. He has a message for you. But see, what's being revealed here is not that he needed a sign, but he had the sign. He had everything he needed. It revealed something that was going on in him, a struggle that he had to trust the message that he'd heard. Can this be real? give me another sign. I don't know if this can be real. It's almost, I say this, but it's almost as though God has revealed himself to you. He's showing you what he wants you to do. He's saying specifically, I want you to be saved. I want you to turn your heart to be back to me. I want you to repent. I want you to make these things right. He's been specific on exactly what he wants you to do, but yet we ask him for something more. Give me another sign. God, I know what you want me to do, but just to be sure on what you want me to do, will you do it for me? Will you teleport me? Will you make this happen for me? Because I just am struggling with this so much. That would have been Zacharias. Now, I love how the angel responds, because what he said to Zacharias, God says to us. Look at verse number 19. The angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel. And we could talk a while about Gabriel, because Gabriel, this isn't the first time he's mentioned in the scriptures. He's mentioned in Daniel, and he revealed about the 70 weeks there. And so he's a figure that would have been known of by Zacharias. And so for Zacharias to hear, you're the Gabriel that we know about or have heard about. Yeah, that's who he's talking to. But look what it says next. Gabriel isn't an authority. He's an angel. Gabriel said this, that stand in the presence of God. And by the way, he said, am sent to speak unto thee. So Gabriel didn't come in his own authority. Gabriel stands in the presence of God. The implication of that is, he's the authority, not me. God's the authority. And I stand in his presence, I do what God says, I'm delivering message as God leads me to deliver the message. And so the reason Gabriel is standing before Zacharias at all is because God sent him. And so the idea here is, the message isn't from Gabriel, the message is from God. God had a message for Zacharias. And when Zacharias struggled with receiving and doubting the message that came from God, it revealed that Zacharias was having trouble trusting, not in Gabriel or in the experience, but in God. There was an issue of trust with God. Well, that happens to you and me. Like I said just a moment ago, that this message from, or rather the word spoken by Gabriel to Zacharias, that he would have struggled trusting, is the same struggle that you and I have. What do I mean by that? I mean, you and I struggle to receive God's message to us in faith and to trust. We have doubts too. So that there are times, listen to this. There are times when God leads us in a specific way financially. Isn't that right? Yes. And then there's challenges there. Why? Because it's our finances. I mean, those are precious things to us. I mean, that's sort of a, I think it was Jesus said, a window to our heart, right? You know, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So, I mean, our treasure, our financial status, and the things that we spend our money on, it really reveals where our heart is, but it's close to our heart. And so our finances at times can be challenging when God is working in us in that area of our life, to trust him with our finances. Maybe he's working in you to give. If you don't give, then probably God, you know, it might be that you need to be saved. There might be various things that God is going to work in you on before he starts touching you about giving. But along the way, as a believer, a follower of Jesus, there ought to be something in there that says, I don't want to just be a taker. I want to be a giver. You know, which, by the way, isn't just your money. I mean, we're not after your money. I hardly ever preach about money. Because I know God provides. He takes care of the needs of the church, and he has been. We just try to do what he wants us to do. The devil seeks to destroy that, but we try to do what he wants us to do. It's, and in the area of our finances. But that's true for you. As God is working in you, and you know in your heart, we need to be faithful, and we need to give, and we need to do what he wants us to do. But finances can be tight. And I understand we live in the valley, and things are you know, things are more tend to be more expensive here. And so, you know, our finances are a struggle sometimes. Already, and then God starts working in your heart and saying, hey, I want you to give this, or I want you to be involved this way in our finances. And then we get uncomfortable, right? Because we doubt. It's not that we're getting that message from the pastor, or it's not that we're getting that message from some other source. But it's that we're getting that message from God, and God is working in us, and we have trouble not just acknowledging that it's that message is coming from God, but obeying Him in what He's calling and leading us to do in that area of life reveals that our trust isn't in this world, our trust issue isn't in this in the church or in the leadership of the church, but if God's working in your heart, your trust issue is with God.
Amen.
Our doubt issue is with Him.
That's right.
It's not just finances, sometimes it's relationships. And God works in our life in the area of relationships. By the way, our life is built on relationships.
Amen.
It all illustrates what the ultimate reason why we exist, which is our relationship with God.
Amen.
And so it makes sense that if God wants to destroy and disrupt your relationship with God, then He's going to seek to disrupt and destroy your relationships with God's people. And sometimes God leads us in the area of relationships and we struggle to acknowledge that He's working in us in this way. Because we don't want something to change, or we don't want to acknowledge that maybe we're not right with somebody the way we should be, and we need to make things right with them, but we don't want to deal with that issue. And God's working in us. He's convicting us. He's saying, you need to deal with this issue because it's disrupting what I want to do in your life and in their life and in the work of the ministry. And He's working in you, and you know you need to reconcile and make things right, but it's going to require you to have trust. You know, if there's a fence, God says there's no excuse for you not to go to them. Did you know that? Well, they're the ones who offended me. Well, you need to go to them in grace and say, there's something between us and I really want to make things right. You probably shouldn't go to them and say, you offended me. Can we get this right? But how about we go to them in grace and say, I know that things aren't right between us. Can we make things right? I just want to make things right. And that's if there's an offense there. Obviously, if you offended somebody, you need to go to them. And you need to say, I offended you. And even if I didn't offend you, I shouldn't have said or did what I did. And I want to make things right. Can we make things right? So it doesn't matter if you're offended or if they're offended. God says, go to them. And that sometimes requires faith, doesn't it?
Amen.
Like, well, I don't want to go to them. I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to make this right. And that's where the doubt is. But it's not the pastor who's telling you need to do this, although I am telling you need to do this. But God's the one who's giving this message. The message is from Him.
Amen.
And our trust is, if we're struggling with this, then our doubt isn't on this level right here. The doubt is on this level. Because He's the one giving these instructions, guiding us in how to deal with these relationship problems we're having. How about inner turmoil? And we have that struggle, and we talked about it a lot in Sunday school. Anxiety, worry, fear, and these things overwhelm us. And God says, you know why? Because you're carrying this, and you don't need to carry these burdens. And I can take these from you. I'm like, oh, I'm so glad for this message. God can give me peace. I'm going to come and I'm going to pray. I'm going to give it to God. But then you pick it up off the altar and carry it back to your pew with you and take it home. And then you carry it all week again. You know, and God says, you don't have to do this. Then why do we do it? Because we doubt. We doubt that He can carry these burdens. We don't pray like we should. We need to pause and pray. I did a whole sermon on that one time. That was the title of the message. Pause, pray. How often do we do that? Probably quite a bit more than we do. I need to do it all day long. Pause and pray. Pause and pray. God, I need you. I can't carry these burdens. Well, what causes us to carry these heavy loads and not give them to God and let Him carry the heavy load? Because we doubt. We don't have simple trust to know that He can carry it and He can handle it. This would have been where Zacharias was. In this case, God said, I have a promise for you. I have a blessing for you. And these are glad tidings. But he doubted. He struggled with this doubt. And so because of that, look at verse 20. Behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak. So what God then did is two things. He gave Zacharias a sign. Remember he asked for a sign? He gave him a sign. You're going to be mute. You won't be able to speak. But at the same time he gave him the sign, he gave him judgment. Because the news that, listen to this, the news that Zacharias just heard, this is good news. This is, in fact, the angel himself said, this is glad tidings. I have good news. And I have such good news, you're going to want to share it with everybody. But you won't be able to. Because you're going to be mute. You're not going to be able to share this blessing because you doubted what I wanted to do in you. mute. Not be able to say anything. Let's go on. Let me show you something here. Verse 21. It says, the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. Now, the reason why the people who are waiting outside are there is because they're praying and they understand, even though this is a ceremony, there would have been faith in the nation of Israel in this point, knowing that the responsibility that Zacharias was carrying in that moment and offering the incense as he was would have been for the nation of Israel. And so they would have been waiting and praying and waiting for the blessing of God that Zacharias would have delivered. Anytime, and this is what Jewish tradition teaches, that anytime a priest was in the holy place for a long time like this, it wasn't like, oh, he's really hearing from God. No, it's like, oh, no, he's hearing from God. I think we're in trouble. That's what the nation would have understood. And so then finally, and by the way, when he went in there, he would have went with some other priests. There would have been four other priests who would have waited just on the outside. And so Zacharias would have been in this holy place doing his responsibility. The four priests would have been waiting along with him. And then when Zacharias came out to those four priests, the Mishnah teaches about this, a Jewish book about Jewish tradition, that the five of them, the four priests that would have been there waiting for him, and then Zacharias would have all walked out to the nation of Israel who were awaiting and praying, and as we see in verse 21, and worrying, like, why is he waiting in there so long? And then when they came out, they would have read what is called the Aaronic, the Aaronic blessing, not ironic, but Aaron, like the priest Aaron, Aaronic blessing, which was number 6. Listen to what it says. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. They would have been waiting for that blessing. But here's the problem. When Zacharias and those other four priests came out, he wasn't able to give that blessing. As a matter of fact, he wasn't able to talk at all. The scripture says in verse 23, look what it says. It came to pass as soon as the days, or rather verse 22. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision with the temple because he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. So he's doing signs. He's beckoning to them with his hands. And through that, they would have understood he saw a miracle. There would have been something amazing that happened. But remember, he was mute. He wasn't able to share the blessing that he had seen. He wasn't able to share what God would have been doing in that moment. And the reason why was because he lacked what we already talked about, was that simple trust that God had revealed himself and God was going to do a miracle and God had a promise for him, and he doubted that. And it caused a muteness, that a mute in his ability to communicate what God was doing to the nation of Israel. When the kids were small, I remember putting them up on a ledge there at our house in Nebraska, which was, you know, it was pretty high. It was just right around my chest. And I would set, and they were toddlers, and I would set them up on that wall. And then I would back away just a little bit, you know. And so they're just really close to me, inches. And I would say, okay, jump off into my hands. And they would jump. I mean, reluctant. Some of them were reluctant, and they would jump off. And then I would put them back on there, and then I would back away a little bit more. And then they would, you know, jump off. And then I would back away a little more, and more reluctant. Some of them, it didn't matter. They're going to take a running start, and they're going to jump off. It requires a level of trust in Dad to jump off into his arms that way, doesn't it? I mean, hey, is Dad going to catch me? Is this going to be okay? Well, of course, they trust their dad, and so they're going to jump off. And God, listen, God is working in our hearts. He's working in our hearts. He wants us to know that he's faithful. He wants us to know that he's going to take care of us, and so he visits us, and he speaks to us. And that's grace, isn't it? That's mercy, that you're going to get to hear from God. And it might be this morning you're hearing from God. It might be this morning God is speaking to you and he's calling you to trust him. If you need to be saved, then that means God is going to work in your heart. He's going to call you to trust him. He's going to say, will you trust me in salvation? Will you come into a relationship with me? And it might be this morning that God is working in you in that way. Now, I think we should acknowledge that is probably the case for some in here this morning. That God is working in you and He's revealing you need to be saved. And so it's time for you to say, okay, so do I trust the Lord? Am I going to let him have my heart? Can I give myself to Him? Can I trust Him? And so today might be the day of salvation where in your heart God's working in you in that way. You know, it might be that God is working in some of us this morning, not about our salvation, but about our trust in Him in other areas of our life.
Yeah,
like, well, hang on a second, what do you mean? I mean, it might be that this morning God's working in you about some areas of your life that you haven't been trusting God. You've been trusting in yourself. You've been doing things your way. You haven't been acknowledging Him. You haven't been praying. You haven't been seeking Him. You've been carrying this thing and you've been doing it your way. And God, this morning, He visits us, doesn't He? Isn't He good to visit us and speak to us like that? That He comes to us and He says, listen, you're carrying a burden right now. You don't have to carry this. I'll carry this for you. I'll take this burden from you. But to do that, you're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to trust that I can handle what you've been trying to carry. Listen, the reason why we struggle is because we can't bow our knees to Him. The reason why we struggle is because we can't give it to Him. I already said it, but we take it to the altar because we know God wants to take this, and we're tired of this struggle. But as soon as we're at the altar, we say we're giving it to Him, but then we pick it back up and we take it to our pew and we take it back home with us.
Right.
And what we're revealing about ourselves is we're not trusting God.
Amen.
We're not trusting, we're not giving ourselves to Him to know that He's faithful. And He can carry you through this.
Amen.
He can carry this heavy load. But we have to give ourselves to Him and trust to know that He is faithful. We have to stop trying to do it our way. We have to stop trying to think that we're strong enough. Like, you know, I know that God is working in this way. And God is saying, I have glad tidings for you. Well, who are these glad tidings for? Like, for all of us. God has glad tidings. I could go around the room. God has glad tidings for you this morning. You don't have to carry this load anymore. You're like, oh man, really? Yeah, you don't have to carry this load anymore. I mean, these are glad tidings. I have good news for you. There is a blessing that's right around the corner. If you'll just trust me. If you'll trust me to do in you what you can't do for yourself. I can do it in you. I can do it for you. Like, is that real? I don't know if it really is going to work that way. And we doubt, don't we?
Amen.
You're like, well, you know, I'm not really sure because I tried this before. You know, I've tried this before. Do you know what kind of life you're going to have? I hope everybody's listening to this. Do you know what kind of life you're going to have and you probably are having? Mute. Mute. Like a nothing kind of life. That's what life is like when you're doing it your way. It's mute. It's like empty, right? You can't really communicate. You can't really communicate. Not really. Because you just know it isn't right. There's something in there that's just, it's just not right. And it really boils down to something very simple, doesn't it? We make it complicated, don't we?
Like
this incredible masterpiece. I feel like every time Miss Sarah plays the piano, it's an incredible masterpiece. We make things complicated, and God doesn't. It's very simple. Will you trust me? Because if not, you can do it your way, and you'll just carry this thing back into your life, but you're going to have a mute kind of life, a nothing kind of life. It's empty. You know you're missing it. You're missing it. It doesn't have to be that way.
Yep.
Like, but it's hard, though. How hard is it? How hard is it? How hard is trust? I don't know. I asked Caleb to help me. Would you help me out? Caleb's going to help me. Here we go. How hard is trust? Oh, man, this is hard. Okay, here we go. Do you got me?
Yeah.
Now, if he drops me, I'm probably going to die. All right. Like, well, Pastor, you were only on the second step. Oh man, my heart's going. You know what's amazing is he's the one that jumped into my arms. God says, it's not going to be easy, but I'm not going to drop you.
Amen.
I can handle it. God says, I can take care of you. I have glad tidings for you. It's going to require you to trust me. Would you? Will you trust me? Would you stop trying to carry it on your own? Could you give it to God this morning? Would you let him carry this heavy load? Would you let him do it in you? God, I this morning I've made things so complicated. God, this morning I've made things so difficult. God, this morning I've, in life, I feel like I can relate to Zacharias. There's a lot of muteness there. Doesn't have to be. Simply trust him. Simply trust him. It's time this morning. Simply trust him. You need to be saved. Simply trust him. Stop making it complicated. It's not complicated. He spoke to you. You know you need to be saved. Let's get it done. Right? He's like, I've been fighting. I know what he wants me to do, but it's complicated. It's not complicated. Trust him. He'll take care of you. Whatever it is, it's finances, it's relationships, it's that inner turmoil that we have. Just trust him. He's faithful. He will not drop you.
Amen.
Won't drop you.